dramatic fanfare introduction to Matt Shapiro. He is with MWS Capital, and his claim to fame is that he helps his clients make money. He's all about stock investing, preparing for the future. You do have a philosophy, don't you? I mean, it's on the conservative side. You're a buy-and-hold guy.
And it is a saga of investing, just like Star Wars. So thanks for the theme music and the introduction, Bill.
Not to prop you up too much. But let's remind you that any investing that you make does entail risk. You should always check with whomever you are turning to for professional advice. Matt's smart and he knows what he's doing, but the worst thing to do is just take his word for it and go and put $1 million into something, even though he may be doing that. It's not necessarily the right thing for you to do. So there is always risk. You could lose your principal, and check with whatever professional you're working with. But if you do have questions about sectors, particular companies, or anything like that, we want you to So call us, 312-981-7200. Have I opened it? Yes.
Didn't those days seem a lot simpler back then, you know, in the 80s and 90s, and the market seemed to go up even though we had recessions and we didn't
Well, how
have
about 87? That was not simple.
Well, but then we came right back from it. And, you know, I think a lot of people are taking a look and assessing the market so far this year. And we're up a little bit. There's been some hot sectors like biotechnology that have cooled down a little bit. But I think a lot of people are thinking about, you know, what's going on with the middle class? Are we really going to gain the momentum that we had in the 90s, and can we get back to that time? So I think that's a big question going forward with the markets right now, Bill.
And the middle class, the retail investor, very important components. It's not just all the institutional people who are investing. The retail class, the middle class investor, is a very important part of sort of the mood of the country, and it's a very important driver for the markets.
Really is. And of course, middle class wages are stagnant, especially from the recession we had several years ago. Now, a lot of jobs have been created, and economic growth is actually pretty decent. There's lots of strong fundamentals. I mean, I really like the market, Bill. You know, I like all the transportation stocks, the industrial stocks. Things are doing well, but a lot of the middle class don't feel like they're doing well. And it's really a function that we still need to create 2 or 3 million more jobs to get back to where we were and pick up the slack from just economic growth. And I think once we get there, and I know everyone wants everything to happen right now, but in the next 2 or 3 years, I think we are going to pick up that slack with employment in the economy and rising middle class wages.
Well, you look at the markets, which are at and did somebody hit an all time high like the S&P? I mean, everybody is.
I told you I was excited about that last week.
Yeah, but that's a reason for a lot of people to shy away from investing. They think, you know, there's been such a run up. Why do I buy into it now? I'll probably lose everything. I need to wait for the next correction.
Well, I never go in for that. I mean, there's been some sector rotation. We're kind of in a sector market where.
Now, you mean by that is that money's moving out of one area like pharmaceuticals and into another like industrial.
Correct. Out of some of the phenom stuff like
Tesla.
Biotechnology, Tesla, which is healthy, and into some of the fundamental stuff. Northern Trust Bank.
What happened there?
Hit an all-time high, just skyrocketing on Friday because the big news was from the new Federal Reserve Chief, Janet Yellen, that our short-term interest rates, which are at zero, and, you know, out there, that's absolutely unusual and shows you the slack in the labor market, that short-term rates, your bank statement's paying you nothing. She indicated that those will eventually lift from zero to reflect better economic activity going forward. So everyone, just be patient. Next couple of years, the market's going to do well.
It was funny, though, when she said that, she was just sort of saying it as an idea that we'll get around to that sometime. But a lot of people took it not as a generality, but as literally that, oh, she's going to now raise rates. And I think there was a bit of a short-term sell-off there after that.
Right. Well, I think Bernanke didn't handle his first several meetings as well as everyone thought. And I guess Janet Yellen is going to learn a little bit more to handle the markets very well, because every word she says, trillions of dollars move around.
I know. Remember Greenspan, Mr. Inscrutable? People try to figure out what is it that he meant, and he was almost deliberately trying to be vague because he knew that anything specific would send people to the buy or sell buttons.
Correct. So let's talk about actually rational non-exuberance, and there's lots of companies and stocks out there that are doing well, don't think the market's too high, that pay you good dividends, that are making money, and the fundamentals of the economy are still very good.
All right, so give me some guidance there. We had heard a statistic sometime this week that the average person has saved about $1,000 for retirement, which is as good as saving nothing. It's woefully inadequate. That'll keep you alive for a week. So if people are starting to think, maybe I need to open an account and I need to start investing, where do you begin? What kinds of things do you do if you're just, you only have a few thousand to deal with and you're only going to be putting in $100?
Well, put it into a general stock mutual fund is what I recommend. You know, I favor mutual funds over index funds just because I think today's lower cost mutual funds, the manager is kind of doing something and is picking stocks and is doing a pretty good job. And some of the sectors that are actually really positive right now are banking, transportation, electronics and semiconductors, and of course, healthcare. There's so many miracle drugs coming out here. I'm not talking necessarily about the biotechnology, but just general healthcare is such a huge thing with our labor force aging and everyone's living longer and getting a real benefit actually from all these phenomenal discoveries. I mean, have you heard all those, you know, so many ads from all the local regional healthcare companies about cancer treatments and the like, and you know, they're really keeping people alive, you know, knock on wood, who suffer from all sorts of conditions that in the past people thought were death sentence.
We're talking with Matt Shapiro. He is the guy who runs MWS Capital. He knows all about investing, and Marie is our first caller up with a question. Marie, you're on WGN. Howdy.
Hi, my name's Marie. I've got a question for you. My husband and I both work for companies that have excellent stock, and we're able to purchase the stock through the company. My question is, do we purchase the stock through our company, or do we research when the stock is at the lowest and then make buy it on our own?
Well, basically, your employer basically gives you some stock at a little bit of a discount quarterly or monthly. Is that correct? And you put a little bit of your paycheck into it?
You're right. Yes.
Right. So you really don't have much control over it. And, you know, this is a great question, Bill. A lot of people work for companies, great companies, and they get, you know, employee stock. And I think over the past decade or so, it's kind of been, you know, danger, danger. Don't put all your eggs in one basket with an employer's stock. But you got to make a call as to whether you really believe in your company. You can do really well with employee stock. So can I ask you, Marie, what couple companies do you guys work for?
My husband is Thermo Fisher Scientific, and I'm Centrix.
Okay, Thermo Fisher has become one of my, I wouldn't say largest holdings, but a big holding. It's just a super solid company. I own a company called Life Technologies that Thermo Fisher purchased for cash. The stock rose. It's about 124. So that's a great stock.
Exactly.
It is a little high. But, you know, just don't go, you know, with a stock like Thermo Fisher doing so well. Don't get too over-enthused, but, you know, there's a case, Bill, of someone investing in a company that's doing fantastically well.
Yeah, but, you know, the advantage is that you have a priced-in discount by having the company eat some of the cost of buying the stock. So that adds more reason
right.
to buying it and not having to just try to time it and buy it at the bottom.
And Thermo Fisher now with this acquisition is an end-to-end worldwide supplier of diagnostic and research equipment in the hot biotechnology.
Do you know Maria's company?
Maria, what was your company?
It's called Centrix or Home Warranty of America. Centrix is, I guess, the largest supplier of energy to Great Britain. So it's not really well-known here as much, but in Great Britain, everybody knows.
You know, I'm going to have to take a look at that over
energy,
the weekend. Yeah, has the stock been doing well?
I've just joined up with the company, so I don't know, but according to them, yes.
As always, any good stock promoting company would say that. But energy is a great sector and utility stocks are doing well. You know, last week we talked about energy strategy with what's going on with Russia and Putin and Ukraine, of course. So thanks for the call.
Okay, Maria.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. 312-981-7200. We have a few more minutes of conversation with Matt Shapiro. So we're moving into spring. Does that, with the seasonal change, does that suggest anything? Do certain stocks lift off more in the warmer weather?
Well, I think a lot of people are waiting for the economy to regain momentum, and investors are kind of like in the pause button. So this week, I think, is going to be a really big week because Obama's going to Europe to try to see what's going on with that, you know, the Ukrainian crisis. I know a lot of people here in the United States are taking issue with our response. You know, I'm not sure there's really a lot we can do. You know, we're going to be preempted, of course, and go on hiatus for the Cubs season. So we'll have to see.
Oh, this show on Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, at least April is going to be tough, but it'll.
Yeah. So we'll have to see what happens. But I think there's a lot of pent-up demand. I'm looking at some research, for instance, transportation companies. They're trying to dig out, really, of a backlog of shipping and goods from the slowdown, from the cold weather we had in the winter.
We had earnings now, earnings season, first quarter numbers are coming in. We had some, KB Homes and Lennar were showing some good numbers. Does that suggest that there's some optimism in that all-important housing sector?
Yes, a lot of optimism. And, of course, the middle class, we need that growth there. During the credit boom of 2003, 2006, we sort of had the middle class feeling good about their home. So once we get employment continuing to grind out, we're creating about 175,000 jobs per month. That's going to add up over time. That's going to increase home values. And it's going to make the middle class feel better. It's going to support rising stock prices.
Yeah, well, it was the home problems that got us into the recession. And it's somewhat of a lagger here. We're still waiting for some real strength in that recovery. Amazing, though, that the winter has so hobbled so many companies. I mean, that our overall GDP growth was hit back because the winter just slows everything down.
Right. So GDP for the first quarter is probably going to be under 2%. But for all of 2014, it should be around 2.5%, which I know it doesn't sound that great, but that's pretty good. And if we keep on grinding out that kind of growth, by the time we create another million and a half new jobs over the next year and a half, GDP is bound to rise. And of course, with the signaling from the Fed to lift short-term rates in about a year, I think people are going to be more than pleased with the performance of the economy and their investments.
Yeah, well, mortgage rates will also be rising. I mean, there's always the bad that comes with the good. If you want a strong dollar, that has advantages over a weak dollar. If you want low interest rates, there's bad there. When they rise, there's bad there too.
Right. So keep in mind, it is a little bit of a stock picker's market. Try to stick to the value stuff, that really you're really buying something that represents something, pays a dividend, been in business a long time, less so much the phenom stuff. I know it's great when a stock goes up 10-20% in just a month or two. But, realize long term, it's that grinding out kind of company that's going to do well for you.
Consumer products, that's another one that you would agree is good for a long-term investment strategy.
Absolutely, and that has been a little bit soft this year so far. Your Procter & Gamble's have not really had the oomph that we'd like them to see. So I hope in the spring and the summer, those stocks are going to start gaining some traction.
Tell me, Matt Shapiro, do you own any Tesla?
I do not own any Tesla. It's absolutely too crazy expensive. I know it's the greatest thing ever. I know they're building this amazing battery factory. It's a huge investment.
Hey, what are they cranking
out? It's going to change everything.
Tens of thousands of cars a month. They're really amped up their production now.
Yeah.
I see them all the time.
Yeah.
I saw two today.
They burn by me, drive me off the road. They're very arrogant drivers. And, of course, the stockholders, too. Hey, everyone's done well in the stock. And I think it's great for the economy. They do push the envelope of what's going on, and it's great for everything. This new battery factory that they're going to make kind of sounds like the Manhattan Project, actually. To bring down battery costs, if they can, is going to be a major, major change. So there's a lot to it. Not necessarily my style of investment, though.
Yeah. Well, the battery, once they break through and figure out how to do it right, we'll have cell phones that operate indefinitely and cars that run 1,000 miles before recharging.
Exactly. Wouldn't and and Star Trek, and we'll be going to
well, it's fun to dream. Yes. Come on. Matt Shapiro, MWSCapital.com is his website. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Bill.